Welcome to the Cultivating Business Growth Podcast, bringing you bi-weekly discussions designed to help you grow your business and create the lifestyle you desire. Elevate your business with proven strategies from virtual CFOs, CPAs, and business advisors. We discuss real-world challenges solved with actionable steps that get you the results you need, both in business and building the life you deserve.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to episode number 138 of the Cultivating Business Growth Podcast, brought to you by PJS and Co-CPAs. I'm your host, Megan Spicer, and today we are talking about great questions to engage with your CFO when you're meeting with them. We focused episode, actually 114, if you go back and listen to that old episode, on 10 great strategic questions to ask your CFO. And we noticed that it was a really popular episode, and there's been a lot of questions about, you know, what do I even ask? How do I engage with my CFO? I booked this meeting. It's not cheap to have an advisor at that level, and I want to spend my time in the best way possible to make the most of what we're talking about with my business. So in order to help me tackle that topic, I have Katina Peters here with me joining to elaborate on those questions as I go through and ask you about them. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. Great to be here as always. It's definitely a fun topic to dive into and something that, you know, we're involved in pretty regularly. So it's nice to just kind of, you know, discuss that and how we can work with businesses or how businesses can help themselves, whether it's us or someone else, you know, really grow and strengthen, et cetera, and just get a better understanding of things.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, a lot of these are focused on more of the proactive, which is obviously where we like to play in, is like, we want to be offensive, not defensive, right? Like, we don't want to be dealing with things after the fact and cleaning up messes. Obviously it happens and that's life. But as much as we can, we want to be talking about these things and having these conversations ahead of time so that we can plan ahead. We can be as proactive as possible. We can be on the lookout for things that are early warning signs instead of getting in trouble when we're down the road and it's too late.
Yeah, absolutely. Even in business, the best defense is a good offense, right?
Yes. Across the board.
Yep.
So one of the first questions and topics that we can talk about is capital allocation. How should we prioritize capital allocation to ensure the highest return on investment?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask. I think it's really important that we stand back and ask those questions. I think we've done a lot of talking about strategic planning and the types of decisions that go into that. And I think a lot of your strategic plan, when it comes to at least the financial aspects, and obviously that goes into everything else, is prioritization of capital, right? What are we going to invest in over the next 3 years, over the next year, you know, and breaking that down as our roadmap again into the quarterly things that we're going to do. So looking at, you can put capital into people, hiring more people. You can put capital while you're training your people even as well. Put capital into your systems, building up your systems and technology, you know, whatever systems you may have, put more capital into your marketing. And you can put capital into your hard assets. So a lot of people, when they think capital, a lot of times they just think their assets, their hard assets that they're investing in. But your capital means, you know, everything that you have in the business and where you're going to put those assets into. You know, what types of things are you going to, like you said, invest into? Where is the best investment, the best return on that investment in the little microcosm of your business, right? So that's what we're looking at. When we do this, it's somewhat diagnostic first. We do have, as we've talked about before, like our SWOT analysis. You know, sometimes it's, hey, the computer's just not running. I need a new computer, right? We don't, can't really like not
simple as that.
Work. So sometimes there's necessities that you have to invest in as far as that goes. But when you get into really then deciding, okay, we have or are expecting extra capital this year, or we have extra capital that we want to invest, then you have a little more leeway then to really pick what's the highest, best use of that capital based on where we're at in the business and where we're trying to get to. And of course, you can have capital from internal source, like we just mentioned, you know, we built up some money, we're expecting to build up some money. Or if we feel like we need to go externally, we can get, you know, raise capital externally through investors or through lending so that we can continue to grow the business in that way, if that makes the most strategic sense to go that route as well.
Perfect. And the next thing that this is a big topic. We can probably talk about this. I mean, I know we've done some forecasting episodes, but financial forecasting, what are financial projections for the next quarter/year? And what factors contribute to these forecasts? Great question. Again, you're not going to cover everything in like 5 minutes. No. But that's the high topics, high points.
Yes, high level bird's eye view discussion, yes. Right? It's not into the weeds, for sure. But I think it's an important thing to be working with your CFO advisor to find out. You should be moving into having forecasts and having those things is part of your strategic planning and a monitoring system. It's really important for businesses that kind of as they get into doing this, like working with businesses that say have never had a forecast before, they're pretty amazed by what can happen with a forecast. Like, because it's a picture of your business. It's not just the financials. It's not just the income and expenses. It's really a building up of all the things that make your business, right? So you're looking at things from the outputs and the inputs specifically. So I know we've talked, like you said, we have forecast episodes. So if you want more details on that, I'll give a quick analysis, but there's lots more. But you're looking at, you know, again, what people do we need? What capital do we need to spend? Where? What new product service do we want to launch? Do we need a new location? And what are all the impacts of those things? What revenues do we expect to get out of that new product line or service or location? What expenses are we expecting? And what overarching impact is that going to have? And folding that in to an already existing business model and financial forecast produces some great scenarios that you can make decisions based on. Is this a good decision or a bad decision? You know, so, yeah. You know, that way you can actually look at it from a perspective of a more solid expectation. Yes, there's still obviously some guesswork involved. You're not going to think of every single, you know, thing that might happen, et cetera. But, you know, you may have a great gut feeling about something and maybe it is great, but running it through the financial forecast, thinking about all the ins and outs of it and running that through, you really get some confirmation. Okay, yes, it is great. Or yes, it will be great, but gosh, this first 3 months are going to be rough or something like that. So you can expect that. You can make sure you have the capital to support that or obtain it. So it gives you a more full picture of that type of situation. So financial forecasts and cash flow projections, as we've talked about, kind of hand in hand, right? What does it look like? Really help to steer and guide the business through all the decisions that they're trying to make. So these are a huge useful tool for the clients that we work with and for others, obviously, that are using forecasting. So I'd highly recommend that you ask questions about that and get one going if you don't have one.
That's great to know, because you think financial forecasting, it almost sounds kind of like a budget. Like, okay, that's great to have, kind of good to know, but stepping back and realizing that it can be a good business decision tool as far as having more concrete, like self-assurance, right? Then looking at the actual numbers, again, it's never 100% because life, right? But we can have a better sense of, okay, I feel like I have the confidence to move forward in this, knowing, you know, the potential problems that could come up. Or like you said, the first 3 months are going to be rough, but I'm prepared to weather that storm because I know after that, or we're fairly certain that it's going to get better, right? So that it's nice. It's like almost a confidence builder in the decisions that you're making and running your business.
Right. And it does also force you to think about certain things that, you know, rather than just run off and do something, it's you're thinking about, you're going through and forcing in, okay, I need to think about how is it going to affect this revenue? How's it going to affect that expense? You're basically like walking yourself through all these decisions, likely with an advisor, but they're going to be like, okay, well, what about this? And what about that? And how does this affect that? What are your opportunity cost considerations? You know, they're going to, so it also helps you just strategically think through making a change or doing something different as well. And that's sometimes that's even just adding people too. I mean, it may not be like a major product line change or something, but hey, we need to look at adding in some more salespeople. Hey, we need to look at adding in some more, you know, service people. What does that look like? We feel like we're just really overloaded and we need more help. We think we need two or three more people. Okay, so we plug that in and look, what's our impact of that? Is it sustainable? Do we need to change something else in order to make that be sustainable? You know, do we need to reanalyze the system? Because gosh, if we hire that many people, we can afford it, but we're not going to be making any money maybe, or what have you. So you kind of run through all those types of scenarios too.
Yeah, that's great. Fully understanding the impact of those decisions. It's amazing.
Right. Yep.
All right. Question number three focuses on cost optimization. So in what areas can we optimize costs without compromising productivity or quality?
Yeah, I think this is definitely an ongoing question that we all need to be asking, right? As business owners, things can definitely tend to creep here and there, you know, unless you're monitoring it well or have a team monitoring it for you. Now, this is, of course, a very specific question to a very specific business situation. So it's going to be something, you know, that each company has to look at their own operations and what they're doing. One of the ways that we look to do this is we look at industry comparatives. So we've talked about before, you know, those industry comparative reports. So we can see, does something jump out at us? Like, this cost is really high compared to industry. What's going on with that? Like, are we just not getting good quotes? Are we not, you know, going through getting better vendors? You know, what is the reason behind that so that we can make it more efficient and effective for our business? Now, does that mean it's always the problem and always is not going to be different in industry? No, but it does help us find places to look to see where we might be a little off track. And if we're doing obviously better than industry, great. We should still be looking at things regardless, but it definitely kind of helps us just identify if we're not exactly sure. That's a good way to just monitor and make sure we're staying in alignment. And then we also have kind of our gut as business owners. There's a lot of business owners that we talk to and they're like, just something just doesn't seem right here. Like, they can't put their finger on it, exactly what's going on. But that again is a good place to just hone in on those areas, look at what's going on, tear it apart a little bit, you know, see what the situation is so that we can make sure that we're optimizing those cost areas. And of course, you know, we have to look at, you know, we don't want the low gutter, you know, team working on our stuff that's going to make the quality cruddy. We want to make sure we have still that good quality. So we have to, you know, make sure we have systems in place for that. And sometimes that means the cost needs to be what it is, or it needs to be a little higher than the lowest price we could get. So again, those quality monitoring things we've talked about in the past still need to be put in place to make sure we're being careful with that as far as that goes. So that's kind of how we approach it there. And also kind of going back to the budgeting, we've, you know, talked about forecasting, but budgeting, as we've talked in the past, is different than forecasting. But looking at our budget and planning with regards to that, we're looking at each line item of the budget. So it's a very meticulous process that we go through and we work through, because we're looking at each line item budget going, what does this need to be? Why does it need to be that? Does it look, you know, right? Is there anything we can do to adjust that? So again, it's a good thing to work through as we're doing our planning, because that also just kind of makes you stop, think, work through, look at it, make sure that you're not like, wow, that number is really high. Why is that number so high? You know, and then you're really breaking it down and have a really good understanding of it and can make changes if it looks like it needs to be changed. And then we're monitoring, you know, throughout the year, actuals versus expectations on the budget. Sometimes things will stick out there where a cost has gone a little sideways that we need to follow up on. So that's another place that we can optimize. Is you're much better at optimizing your costs in a business and as a person. We can probably relate this to ourselves. If we have a budget, we're better at optimizing our costs than if we don't, right? Because we are like, okay, do I really need that new pair of shoes, or do I not? You know, is it in the budget? Because it definitely puts it in a different light. So we're going to be more responsible about cost optimization if we have a budget that we're monitoring, because it'll just make us more aware.
Yeah, that awareness is huge, because you can kind of go on autopilot and not think about, well, why am I spending that on XYZ, you know, versus what are my big plans and what is the vision for the future that I see at this company and why do we need to stick to the budget, and keeping all of that top of mind too is really important. Right. So,
yep, for sure.
All right. Question number four is market analysis. How is our business positioned in the current market and what competitive trends should we be aware of?
Okay, so we're going to go a little bit back to our industry trends, but there's different types of industry trends that we need to be looking at. So yes, we have financial metrics, like we've talked about, watching those, but then there's also just industry trends and reports just out there that you can just stay up on your reading. What is going on in this industry nationwide? What is going on, you know, in my geographic location, maybe that's regional or more specifically in your state, things like that. So there's definitely industry reports that you can, you know, sign up to receive and get those on a regular basis. A lot of them are quarterly, kind of depends on the reports. Some have some monthly things that come out, but usually the bigger trends are quarterly and annually that you'll see. So you can kind of get what the goings on are out there. A lot of times they'll do kind of like a look back to, like, you know, what did last year, last quarter look like? They'll have people obviously that give their opinions in there as to what they think we should expect. You know, we always have to kind of take that with a grain of salt, see if we agree or not. It's still people's opinions, right? But it helps us just get more of a pulse on what things look like. And if we're reading those and staying up on that, we'll be much more in tune with the things that we might be seeing, because we'll be a little more, again, just goes back to that awareness. We're aware of a specific issue, so it might just hit us differently when we're looking at what's going on with our customer base, what's going on with our vendors, you know, what's going on with our supplies, things like that. So it'll just make us, you know, again, more aware to our surroundings and what's going on. We can also do a review of our closest competitors and kind of look around and see, you know, who are our competitors. And, you know, we should be doing that anyway, but those change over time. New things, you know, new businesses come up, you know, things happen and change. So we want to periodically take a look at that and be aware of, you know, what their offerings are. Not suggesting that we go copy everybody's offerings or anything like that, but we just look at, okay, what are their offerings? What are our offerings? How are we differentiating? Making sure that we're staying up on that differentiation, that it's not becoming obsolete or something like that, that we're making sure that we're keeping ourselves marketable and top of line as far as that goes. So that's another way that we, you know, can stay up with regards to where are we at, you know, in the market and competitive trends. I think those are probably the main primary ways that we can take a look at that.
Yeah. And the thing that you said there too is that industries and your company are both going to evolve as the years go on. You know, if your company has been around for a while, the services that you're offering have likely changed vastly different than what you were offering 10 years ago. Maybe not vastly, but there's going to be changes regardless because of the economy. That's right. And the way that that's changed, or consumers and what they're telling you that they want has changed. So it's good to pay attention to that and make sure that your marketing and your efforts are keeping up with where you are now versus where you were 5 years ago even.
Yes.
The other thing that I would mention too is paying attention to what clients and consumers are saying when you're meeting with them in sales calls. You know, what are they complaining about that they aren't getting from the market? Where can you fit in there to fill that need? You know, you can even look at reviews online as far as not only paying attention to the good reviews, but what are the bad reviews saying? Like, what are they complaining about? And what are the trends that you're seeing there? You know, are they lacking communication? Are they not, you know, getting timely information? Are they, whatever it might be, that could be an area where you can position yourself to if the positioning that you're using currently is not working.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because you can definitely, and also I was thinking as well as just doing a good job of communicating to what you're doing. I think sometimes there is that lack of your customer base really understanding some of the things that you are doing and offering, and making sure that they have a good grasp on that. And like you said, putting in systems that can help you do better, whatever those things are that people are complaining about. Here's like a common complaint, a common issue. we can do it better. But follow through with that, right? You can't just say you're going to do it better. You're going to say that, obviously. But I think also give a why. Why are you better? How are you better? Right. And then what is it internally that you're going to do to make sure that you can fulfill upon that promise as well? Mm-hmm. So going into looking to see how you can be competitive and stay up on the market side. And then also what changes do you need to make internally in order to do that, both on the marketing end as well as the ops side of things too.
Yep, 100%. All right. And question five, the last question for this episode, and then we'll follow up with the other five in the following episode, part two, 137. We are going to focus on compliance and regulation. Are there any upcoming regulatory changes that may impact our financial strategy or operations? That's a big one.
And it's Megan's favorite topic, regulation and government rules.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows I love that so much.
Oh, yeah. So, yep, it's obviously a reality of the businesses that we have, right? The government that we have and things that we have in place. Some great regulations and sorely needed, some very overarching and frustrating. Just depends on where you're at and what you're having to deal with. But regardless of that, you know, we have to stay in compliance as businesses to make sure we can continue operating and have licenses and all those kinds of things. So we want to make sure that we're, again, looking at these things regularly. We do, as always, in all of these questions, recommend that we have some sort of cadence of stopping and looking at these things specifically. So I definitely think you want to build that in and look at it. You know, maybe you're looking at it quarterly, maybe twice a year, you know, something like that, so that it's just built in, because otherwise it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle if we're not building these things in. But that being said, again, industry trend reports and groups can be a great source of information on these. If you have a industry reporting entity, society, or whatever it might be that you're affiliated with and are getting reports from, they're going to be, you know, pretty honed into on regulatory changes coming through the pipeline. A lot of times they're involved in lobbying and they kind of can see what's going on, you know, legally speaking with law, et cetera. So they report back on those kinds of things. Your CFO and or tax preparer from that end is also going to have, you know, things in mind for regulatory changes and financial compliance changes that could affect internal financial operations and reporting, tax compliance, things like that too. So I would make sure that you're just in communication, you know, with your tax advisor. And I think it's good, again, to proactively ask these questions. And hopefully your tax advisor is proactively also advising you. But I think in any relationship, the best situation is both parties being proactively engaged and communicating and asking questions and whatnot. So I would definitely advise that that be done. And I think, again, a regular meeting with your tax advisor throughout the year, during the year, quarterly to semi-annually, is a good thing to just put in place. You need to know where you stand, need to be, you know, abreast of any changes that are going to impact you. And if you do have financial reporting requirements outside, whether it be to bankers or licensing agencies or what have you, there are rules that change with regards to GAAP compliance and those kinds of things that, in order to be compliant, do sometimes require internal operational changes to occur, so that you're getting, you know, kind of like inputting the right things so you output the right things so you have what you need for your reporting, because going back to create those later is kind of a nightmare and a headache.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that we're ahead of those types of things as well. So you want to make sure that you slash your leadership team is staying up on those things.
That's perfect. I mean, our goal in creating this two-part series is really to give our listeners as business owners the tools to walk into a meeting feeling more prepared, right? You have something to contribute in some way, to ask and feel better armed in, you know, and going in completely unprepared and like, I don't even know what questions to ask. Like, okay, you know, you have my financials, but like, where do I start with all of this? Because it can feel very overwhelming when you don't know where to start.
And I get, you know, you get it out of every relationship, what you put into it. And it should be obviously both ways as well. And, you know, we would hope that you have an advisor that's you know, thinking of these things as well and bringing these things up to you. But I think you're going to get the best results, right? If you're going in, like you were saying, with armed with some of these things, prepared with some of these things. I know that a lot of times when I'm going in to see the doctor, you know, once a year for the annual checkup or what have you, it's like, I need to sit down and like think and write some stuff down, because then if I'm just there, I'm just like, yeah, everything's fine. I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe not like thinking through, you know, well, this has been a little bit of an issue. Maybe it's not right now, but you know, we should probably talk about it or, you know, what have you. And so I think, again, you can just get more out of your meetings, more out of your relationship if you do take a little bit of time, like you're saying. And hopefully this is just a good resource for you to not have to just come up with it, right, Megan? You don't have to recreate the wheel. There's a lot of great questions here that can impact your business. And that way you can use it as a resource.
Exactly. And our website serves as a plethora of resources for you as well. If you haven't checked it out, check out pjscpas.com. We have 135 other episodes on the podcast that you can check out, as well as tax calendars and calculators and all kinds of resources that we have there for you, as well as a free discovery call that you can utilize and get a chance to talk to one of our CPAs or CFOs and see how we could help you in growing your business and being more proactive, strategic, all the good things. Thanks so much for joining us. Keep that momentum going, and we will see you next time.
This has been another episode of the Cultivating Business Growth Podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review. Gain access to additional free resources and learning opportunities by visiting pjscpas.com/podcast.